You hear me, Petra?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Better than in
I want everybody to be happy today, okay?
Amen.
Okay. So, the title, Happiness Hacked, we're going to try to grasp a hold of this slippery subject. But as I tried to prepare for it, I realized the more I studied it, the more it slipped away. So we'll see what we can figure out today and what it means. Let's just bow our heads. Father, thank you again for this day that we can open your scripture and your word and we can discover what you have in store for us today is our prayer. Amen. So happiness. How many want to be happy?
Amen.
Okay, most of us want to be happy in life. There's a few maybe that like to wear black clothes and be dark, I guess. Anyway, so we're going to define these two words. Happiness in the dictionary is delight, pleasure, contentment, joy.
Amen.
Now, my wife, Misty, says that happiness is kind of a fleeting feeling, whereas joy is a continuous. I kind of agree with that. So, do you know what bliss is defined as? Bliss is defined as supreme happiness. Okay? I know some of those cake mixes you get supreme or whatever, you know, I don't know what the difference there is in that, but then there's kind of the dark side of happiness where there's trigger happiness. You can be trigger happy or you can be gadget happy. And how many people do you see out there that are gadget happy now? You go to a restaurant, you sit down, and no one's talking to anybody. They're all looking at their phones. That's what you call gadget happy, an obsession with an object. Okay, so that's kind of like what happiness is defined as. Hacked. Do you know what hacked is? Has anyone ever had an axe and chopping wood? You hack the wood up and make kindling. Sever. But in computer talk, it is to modify in a skillful, clever way to circumvent security, usually with malicious intent or financial gain.
Yes.
Have our brains been hacked? We have to ask that. Happiness hacked. So, what about our software and our brain? Happiness is kind of hard to pin down, but let's start with a few, the kind of like three sections. First of all, we're going to talk about the chemistry of happiness. Then we're going to talk about places of happiness. And then we're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about happiness, okay? So, the feel-good neurotransmitters, do you know what they are? There's dopamine, there's serotonin, oxytocin, and endorphins. And you might have heard of all of those or some of them, but they're chemicals. And believe it or not, we're just a bunch of chemicals that move around, we fire, we think, we run, we do all kinds of things. Neurotransmitter is a chemical you have, basically it's really easy to, you have your cells here and you have your nerves here, and this little transmitter, these cells secrete the transmitter and it jumps across this synapse, which is a gap, and it fires a memory or it fires you to move. It's a neurotransmitter. So somehow God created us with these neurotransmitters, and our body in a perfect condition would have all these present, right? And they would be working in harmony. But a lot of times they don't do that. A lot of times people are deficient of neurotransmitters and they get depression. But we won't get into that because that's a whole nother subject. So without these neurotransmitters, no matter how happiness is derived, you could not experience happiness if you didn't have these neurotransmitters present. And the science behind these neurotransmitters are continually evolving. I just came from a meeting, and they're talking about dopamine, serotonin, and it's all about that. And about the time they find out something about it, they find out something different about it. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and if they all work together in balance, we can be happy people.
Amen.
So we come to the question, how is happiness obtained? Well, we know we need these neurotransmitters, but can you buy happiness?
No.
Can you steal it from someone?
No.
Can you pursue it? A lot of people pursue happiness. We'll get to that. We all know that various events can lead to these neurotransmitters being released and in turn cause us to feel happy, elated, relaxed. So what are some of these events that can lead to happiness? I know Don there is happy about having what? Grandkids. I'm happy. I just had my son just had his third daughter, so I'm happy. I haven't seen her yet, but I'm looking forward to that. So our senses, all of our senses, seeing, taste, smell, touch, hearing, they can all stimulate these neurotransmitters, and we can have a happy sensation. We can hear music that reminds us of what? Something in the past, our happy times in the past. We can smell some good food cooking downstairs. That makes us happy, doesn't it, when that starts coming up? Okay. We can see things that make us happy, all of that. So there's another way, event that can happen, and that's drug-induced happiness. A lot of people, we see a lot of dispensaries opening up around town, and people are seeking happiness through drugs. And they work for a while, but usually they're temporary, they're fleeting. And the next time you get some, you have to have more and more. The dose has to keep going up until you're addicted, and then you're stuck. You're stuck in a rut there. So we try to stay away from the drug-induced happiness events. Unless you have pain and surgery, then you need some drugs to help that pain afterwards, and hopefully you get off of those. What about exercise? Can that bring about happiness?
Yes.
Create endorphins? And sunshine. So exercise and sunshine are like two of the eight natural remedies, maybe? So that can bring about happiness. And what about laughter? Do you like to laugh?
Yes.
Do you feel good after you laugh? I do, having a good laugh. And finishing a goal or a project. If you have purpose in life, and you set goals, and you have a list, I have a to-do list. I'm getting old enough, I can't remember them all, so I have to write them down. But I just work on that list, and occasionally I get one done, and that makes me feel happy, because guess what? I can go to the next one. And I just want to keep on going until I die, because I don't want to just sit around in a wheelchair.
Amen.
Yeah, I like that amen, yeah. Okay, and last but not least, feeling needed and giving can produce happiness. If you feel needed and you give in your life, that makes you feel happy. And these aren't all the events that can produce happiness, but these are some of the ones I thought of and the ones that will release these neurotransmitters and make us happy. And as far as depression goes, I'm not the expert on that. I think Neil Nedley is that. And I think you can go to one of his seminars and he'll probably explain all this even in greater detail than I can about the neurotransmitters. But we can see how all of these initiators of these neurotransmitters can be hacked. There's counterfeits to each of these that we have to be careful of. Your senses do not always tell you the reality of a situation. They can deceive you into thinking all is right. In the end, you find yourself sad and full of grief. And I think I don't need to go into that because I think we've all experienced sadness and grief in our lives. And we'll go on with this talk and come to the conclusion on how you can be happy. So the next question is, we talked about the neurotransmitters and the chemical part of happiness. What about places? Can places bring happiness? In his book, this book right here, Eric Werner. It's one grump writer, 10 countries. Will any of them make him happy? This is one grump's search for the happiest places in the world, the geography of bliss. Okay? So the question this guy had, are certain countries more happy than others, and what makes those people happy? And it's a book I haven't finished yet, but I'm reading it, and I wanted to share with you some of the things that he's found out. These countries he went to, he didn't go to every country, he can't do that, but these are the countries, and this is kind of like the summary of what he found in these countries. Now, it's his summary, and it's the people in the country, so I'm not saying this is right or wrong, okay? The Netherlands. He went to the Netherlands first because there, a professor Van Hoven runs the World Database of Happiness, a collection of the sum of human knowledge about what makes us happy and which places are the happiest. So this guy travels to the Netherlands, goes to this database, and he's searching for places to start, like where should I go or whatever. And he finds out that the Netherlands, what makes them happy? Anything goes. And you know, if you've ever been to the Netherlands or read about it, there's free drugs and free prostitution and bicycles all over the place. So, but he says, in the end, that tolerance can lead to indifference. And indifference is no fun at all. No fun at all if they're indifferent about people and what they're doing and everything. It ends to be just chaos. So the Netherlands, that's what he finds out there. And I can't tell you everything he finds out in every country. There are some really good things he finds out about in every country. But he has to kind of give a title to each of these. So then he goes to Switzerland. You know what makes them happy? Boredom. Boredom makes them happy. And this is explained by everything works. There's no potholes. Every public toilet is clean. We talked about in our Sabbath school lesson about envy, about how the Jews were envious of Paul and his preaching, and they stoned him, and they followed him around. And in Switzerland, they believe that envy is the great enemy of happiness. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. But Eric's conclusion about Switzerland is it's an uptight nation. You're always being watched, monitored, judged. Where's the bliss in that? Okay? But there's some really good things about Switzerland. They make good watches, right? They're always on time. Their trains are always on time. And if the train is 10 minutes late, he says, they get all frustrated. So Switzerland is happiness is boredom because they have everything under control and they have all this time to just sit around and do nothing. Okay, next country, Bhutan. Do you know what religion there is in Bhutan? Come on, people. It's what? No, it's not Muslim. It's Buddhism. Buddhism, Buddha. So guess what happiness is there? It is a government policy. You have to be happy as a policy, guys. No matter what condition you find you are happy in whatever situation you find yourselves in. And so he kind of is a lot more to that, to Bhutan, but he asked an American living there in Bhutan what she misses about America. And you know what she said? She misses the First Amendment there. The First Amendment. So when Eric went to Bhutan, he was assigned a guide that had to be with him every minute he went everywhere. So there seems to be no personal freedom there. And she missed in America, in Bhutan, she missed working toilets. So maybe she should have moved to Switzerland. I don't know. Okay, Iceland is next. Guess what happiness is there? Happiness is failure there. Can you believe that? Happiness is failure. And how can you explain that? This is how, there's a, happiness is failure. I'll explain it. So do you know where Iceland is located geographically? Yeah. Way up here? What happens in the winter?
It gets really cold,
and there's what? And there's no sunshine. So there's what we call a seasonal affective disorder that is caused by a lack of sunshine. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yes.
We get that here, I think, because in the wintertime, I get depressed sometimes. I say, stop raining, you know? So seasonal affective disorder. It leads to despair, listlessness, and a craving for carbohydrates. You might just get fat if you live in Iceland. Okay, but guess what? This ailment is virtually non-existent there in with those people. Why? They say happiness is a choice, not a place. Yeah. Now we're getting to someplace, huh? Now we're getting somewhere with what happiness is. Not always easy to be happy when you've got 24 hours of darkness 6 months out of the year, but for them, it's a choice, and they do not have this seasonal affective disorder. Interesting. So we go on. There's five more countries. I'll go briefly. India, happiness is a contradiction. I haven't got to that chapter yet, so I can't really tell you what that's all about, but I can imagine. Moldova, happiness is somewhere else.
Yeah.
How's that sound? Thailand, happiness is not thinking. You just kind of go along and just whatever happens, happens. Great Britain, guess what happiness is there? It's a work in progress. Whatever that means. But let's come closer to home. The last chapter in this book is America, and happiness is home. Now, that might sound good to start with, but let me read you some of the statistics here. Every year, 40 million Americans move to a different location. Can you believe that? 40 million people out there on the road every year moving to a different location. Every minute you spend on the road, and this is about, he went into commuting, how many people commute to work and how many people commute. Every minute spent on the road is one less minute that we can spend with family and friends. Commuting is bad for your health and bad for your happiness. And I kind of like have discovered that. I lived in Hayuchi, worked in Crescent City, 5 minute commute, 10 minute. Now I'm working in Gold Beach, which is an hour away. So I have to, 1 hour out, 1 hour back. But I'm happy because I have a beautiful commute. But can you imagine the people in Los Angeles and San Francisco and all the stress and all the traffic? That's bad for your health. It can't be happy. So I think we need to drive less as Americans. So why do 40 million Americans move to different locations? I think they're looking for their true home. I think they're looking for a place that they can be happy, that they can identify with. And we can't love a place or a person if we always have one foot out of the door, right? Can't do that. So, and he concludes with America, there is one simple question which identifies your true home. I don't know whether I go along with this, but this is what he says. But that question is, where do you want to die? Where do you want to die? That's what he asked one lady, and she was living in Asheville, North Carolina, which is a town where everyone's moving to, which I just grew up near. I grew up 20 miles away from Asheville. And she said, I don't want to die in Asheville. I want to die in Vermont because that's where I was born. So that was her true home, Vermont. So the conclusion is paradise is a moving target. Paradise is a moving target. So, but happiness, I think, comes down to it's a decision, no matter where you are. And the conclusion in his book is Happiness is a slippery seal, hard to hold on to. And there's one more than one path to happiness. And then he says something dynamic that I think brings us to the biblical outlook. Happiness, this is what he says in this book, happiness is 100% relational. There's no such thing as personal happiness. Our happiness is completely and utterly intertwined with other people. Do you believe that?
Amen.
So a lot of people pursue happiness by traveling, by having good experiences, by doing this or that with their senses. But I really think what he has come to a conclusion that it's a personal happiness. Which brings us to seek out what we as Christians want to know. What stories in the Bible, I always go back to the Bible, what stories in the Bible tell us about happiness and how we can gain it? And this one verse in Proverbs that we came to, get this up here where I can see. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. In verse 18, it says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. How many want to eat of the tree of life? You know what happens when you do that? You're happy forever. You're happy forever, right? Proverbs 2:6, we can see, we say, well, okay, we want to get wisdom. We want to get understanding. Where do we get that? Proverbs 2:6 tells us, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives it to you. If you don't have it, ask. He's willing to give good gifts, right?
Amen.
He's willing to give gifts. And then Proverbs 29:18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Happy is he. So what is the law? We think of the law as the Ten Commandments, which it is. But let's read Proverbs 3:3. It says here, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Do you remember where else that was talked about in the Bible? After the commandments were given, God told them, teach them to your children. Take those commandments, bind them around your neck, write them on your heart. Well, I have a question. Is not mercy and truth the commandments lived out in the life? The truth is that God is our creator. The first five commandments is talking about God. I have no other gods before me. The mercy is the last five commandments, treating your fellow man merciful. So I propose that the path of happiness is having mercy and truth in your heart. And sometimes truth can correct us, right? Job 5:17 says, happy is the man whom God correcteth. But let's read also Job 5:18. Find Job here. Some really great stuff here. Job 5:18. Job 5:17 will say, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, but what does he do after that? And bindeth up. He wounded, and his hands make whole.
Amen.
You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like going to the hospital and getting surgery.
Yeah.
The surgeon will make you sore, but he binds you up, stitches you up. He wounds you, but his hands will make you whole. You'll feel better after all this pain you go through. So, happiness is a relationship, which brings us to the story in the book of Acts. There's only two places in the New Testament where the word happy is used. Do you know that? Two places. And the one place I won't even go to, I don't even have it written down here, but the one I want to go to is Acts 26. And it's amazing that we're studying the book of Acts right now, and Paul, and we want to go through this and finish up our little talk on happiness. And we're going to read this one word here, and we're going to start in Acts 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, this was Paul being brought before this king because he was accused by the Jews. And Agrippa says to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and defended himself. I think myself what?
Happy.
Where's the happiness coming from there? He's thinking. King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Okay, so he's happy to be there. And he starts with his conversion story. We're going to jump around. We're not going verse by verse here, but verse 12, he says, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. So he talks about his conversion story, what happened. And we jump to verse 19, and he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So, do you want to be an obedient servant of God or a disobedient?
Obedient.
So, during this conversion story, we're going to read verses 16 and 18. So, we know that he was walking along. This big light made him fall to his feet. And what does God say to him? But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto, in which I will appear unto thee. So, this is why God wanted him to do that, to open their eyes, this is talking about the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan into God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The song we just sang, oh happy day when Jesus what? Took my sins away. This is what Paul is saying, what God wants to do through Paul. Do you want God to do that through you to other people?
Amen.
So, this is why God appeared to Paul. He wanted to send him to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to receive forgiveness of sins, and give them inheritance. Paul's happiness was found in responding to God's call and leading people into a relationship with Jesus and a heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
Not a fleeting happiness, but an enduring happiness.
Amen.
And Paul says in Acts 20:24, and this is when he was bound as a prisoner. But none of these things move me. They don't affect me. None of these things affect me. My suffering, my bonds, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what?
Joy.
So, is happiness a place? Maybe. You can be happier in another. In this book, it says the people that probably are the happiness are the people that have a good government. That's one of the things that makes a place happy. And there's other things, but there's other things. Every country has something that makes you unhappy, too, if you find it. Heaven is the perfect country to live in. but it would be hell to those whose hearts are not in harmony with its principles. So what are the principles? Mercy and truth, giving and living for others. So my prayer is that may God have mercy on us, that we may not be deceived by the counterfeits in this culture.
Amen.
And to make things even harder about what happiness is, I'm going to read Ecclesiastes. Okay. Now, I think Proverbs was written by Solomon, right? Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Okay. So I read the text in Proverbs. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now I will read Ecclesiastes 2:20. Ecclesiastes 1:18. And I'll let you ponder this. For in much wisdom is much grief. He that increases knowledge increases sorrow. You think that's happy?
Sure.
When he just got done saying that that's how happy is? That's something that I'll leave you to ponder, how you can put those two texts together. Happy and sorrow. But he also goes to say in Ecclesiastes 2:24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should delight his senses in his labor. And God is the one that gives joy. God is the one that gives us wisdom and understanding. And the best way I think we can get happiness is choose to think happy thoughts. Choose to be happy no matter where we find ourselves or what condition we're in. And think positive. And God will use you to bring other people to Him and His kingdom. Father, we thank You that we can open Your Word and find truth there, find happiness and joy in what You've done for us, what You want to do through us for other people, Lord. Just let us go from this church and go into this community, Lord, and may the people see happiness on our faces and joy in our countenance, knowing that we are there to help them is our prayer. Amen. We have a song to sing. Father, go with us this week. May we keep our eyes fixed on heaven, Lord, our heavenly home, knowing that is the happy place. And help us to be happy people and share with others where that happiness comes from. And that comes from You, Christ, and what You've done for us is our prayer. Amen.
The Lord bless you.